And so I invite you now to take out your Bibles as we turn together to two different passages this morning in the New Testament. The first in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, where we'll start with verse 5. And I will read through verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 2. And then we'll be turning over to John chapter 19. Just a couple verses there. Verse 25 through verse 27 of John 19. The Hebrews 2 passage you can find on page 1864 in your pew Bibles, and the John 19 passage, page 1684. And we are in the Heidelberg Catechism, as I mentioned, and we are up to that part of the Apostles' Creed where we confess Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And that's on page 875 in the back of your Grace Altar hymnals. And so I invite you to also turn there, because when we get to that point, I'll ask those two questions and together we can respond with the answer. That's on page 875, page 875 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Lord's Day 14. Let's first ask God's blessing as we spend time in His Word this morning. Let's pray. And dear Holy Spirit, we are thankful for, again, Thy working in our lives. And so we ask that Thou wouldst continue to do that work now. Lord, as we open up Thy Holy Word, we pray, O Spirit, that Thou wouldst apply these words to our hearts and remind us how precious Jesus Christ is, our Lord and our Savior, how much we needed Him, what a wonderful gift He has been to us from the Father. And so we thank Thee, O Spirit, now for leading us into Thy Word, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, starting with the fifth verse. It is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, he says, 'Here am I and the children God has given me.' Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And then John 19, starting with the 25th verse. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And now Lord's Day 14 of the Catechism. We are first asked, What does it mean that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? That the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took to himself through the working of the Holy Spirit from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, a truly human nature, so that he might become David's true descendant, like his brothers in every way, except for sin. How does the holy conception and birth of Christ benefit you? He is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness, he removes from God's sight my sin, mine since I was conceived. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning in Lord's Day 14 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we're reminded how the Bible teaches us about Jesus' humanity. Ties in again to that phrase in the Apostles' Creed where we do confess about Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's just a few words, but it describes the amazing miracle of Jesus' incarnation, something we typically celebrate around the Advent and Christmas season, which is why this morning, of course, we have a couple of Christmas songs thrown in there for our congregational singing. But Lord's Day 14 also ties in nicely today, this special day for mothers, where as a culture we give thanks to God for the mothers that he has blessed us with. Understanding, of course, that Jesus also had an earthly mother, a mother he deeply loved and cared for. For she did carry Jesus within her womb for those 9 months of gestation until the time came for the baby Jesus to be born. Luke 2 recounts for us being born in Bethlehem, but born to a specific young woman who had been chosen by God for this important work. Truly, she was highly favored. Just as the angel Gabriel declared to Mary, recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, when he came to Mary and he said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Because within her would be carried the long-promised Messiah, the seed of the woman. Now, I use that language, the seed of the woman. We were hearing a little bit about seeds just a bit ago with the children. But the seed of the woman, that's the messianic language that God used when he spoke a word of hopefulness after Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, where in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God in judgment, he declared to the serpent devil, he said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel." Yes, Jesus was that long-promised seed of the woman who came to crush the head of the serpent and to deal him a mortal blow which will bring about the eventual destruction of his demonic kingdom. But to be a seed of the woman, one needs a woman to grow and develop and then give birth to that seed. And that woman's name was Mary, who the Apostles' Creed reminds us was a virgin when she became pregnant with Jesus. Again, a miracle. But God is in the business of doing miracles in our world, so this is not too difficult a thing for God to accomplish. Although it was a necessary thing. If the race of men were to have any hope of being rescued from the curse of sin, which we foolishly plunged ourselves into there in the Garden of Eden. For while it became our lot in life to continue producing offspring who were conceived and born into sin and therefore born with a sin nature and therefore in as much trouble as the rest of us, Jesus was different because of his miraculous conception and birth. Jesus was born without sin and therefore perfectly situated to be the Savior that the rest of the world needed. Finally, you could say a perfect man. The last time there had been a perfect man walking this earth was back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were both without sin, having been created perfect and sinless by God. Of course, we know how that ended. So Jesus became, you could say, Adam number two. The Apostle Paul referred to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15 as the second Adam. Because all the other sons of men before him and all those who would come after Jesus weren't up for the task. Of course, we needed a human being. We needed a seed of the woman to be able to represent the rest of us human beings. He needed to have a birth mom, just like all of us have a birth mom. This is the point that the writer of Hebrews makes in Hebrews chapter 2. We read from that this morning, where in many of our Bibles, that section is entitled by the publishers there, Jesus Made Like His Brothers. The writer of Hebrews in this section makes it very clear that Jesus was truly man, like his brothers. With a profound implication, of course, that Jesus now shares in our humanity. Again, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, begins this way, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too," meaning Jesus, "shared in their humanity." And then, of course, because Jesus shared in our humanity, this has, again, a profound implication for what happens for you and I, brothers and sisters. Because he continues on, again, verse 14 and following, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's seed, descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." So, of course, we see here Jesus needed to be a human being. He needed a birth mom, Mary. Just like you and I have birth moms in order to be our human beings. Your mom's name, of course, most likely isn't Mary. Maybe her name was Nancy, or her name is Lois, or Marcia, or Deb, or Amber, or Susie, or a host of other mom names that are here in this congregation. But because here on earth, Jesus, the Son of Man, had a human being mom, he is able to represent the other sons of men who also had human being moms, which last I checked included everyone here this morning. It's a big deal having a mom. That's why we have a special day like today. We need moms, because without them, none of us would be here. And Jesus also had a mom, which is how he ended up getting here on earth as our Savior. The Holy Spirit descended in power upon the Virgin Mary, miraculously creating life in her womb of the one who would be named Jesus, because he came to save his people from their sins. As the Heidelberg Catechism writes, as we read this morning, "like his brothers in every way except for sin." Yes, Jesus was like us. He was a human being. We see another expression of his full humanity on display when Jesus was being put to death on the cross. That vignette is a small vignette we read, just those few verses from John chapter 19. And Jesus is addressing his disciple John and his mother Mary. Where in John chapter 19, we see Mary described having what relationship with Jesus? Again, well, it says as his mother. That's how we began in John 19, verse 25. "Began near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there. See, Jesus did have a mother. And if there was such a thing as Mother's Day over in the Galilean region during the time that Jesus was walking the earth, no doubt Jesus would have celebrated Mother's Day along with the rest of the people because he too had a mother. Yes, Jesus was fully God. But Jesus was also fully man. He was the result of the Holy Spirit enlivening the seed of the woman, creating life in her womb. Jesus, or I should say, Mary wasn't some surrogate. She wasn't a womb for rent. She was mother to Jesus. Isn't that why Jesus continues to take seriously his responsibility for his mother, even here at the cross, as he hung dying, handing the care for her over to his trusted, beloved disciple, John? Jesus, of course, the firstborn son of the family, would have assumed responsibility for the care of his mother after Mary's husband, Joseph, died. It was the custom. The eldest son would shoulder the responsibility when the dad would die. Except now the eldest son was about to die. And Mary still needed to be looked after. It's interesting that Jesus didn't hand the caring for his earthly mother Mary over to one of his stepbrothers, one of Mary's other sons, like James, for instance, who's the second oldest son after Jesus. Instead, Jesus hands the responsibility to look out for and to care for his mom to John. Of course, in doing so, Jesus was looking out for the well-being of his mom, not just the physical well-being, but Jesus was also looking out for the spiritual well-being of his mother. John was a disciple of Jesus, like Mary was one of Jesus' followers and supporters, even though she was Jesus' mother. But at the time of Jesus' death, Jesus' other brothers were not followers of Jesus. They did not see their stepbrother Jesus as this long-promised Messiah. It wouldn't be until after Jesus rose from the dead that these brothers came to believe in Jesus as their Savior, just like their mother Mary had earlier. And so Jesus here, even on the cross, was demonstrating that spiritual care for someone, the spiritual care was just as important, if not even more important, than the physical care, the medical care for someone, which is why he entrusted his mother to John, who would not only look out for her physical needs, her material needs, but would look out for her spiritual needs as well. This is why many theologians actually presume that the Apostle John largely stayed in the region of Judea and Samaria rather than traveling to faraway place like many of the other apostles did to spread the gospel. They say it's because he was responsible for the care of Mary, who by that time was getting older and in future years would need looking after as an elderly woman who couldn't go traveling about. But see, Jesus took seriously his responsibility for Mary because he was, in fact, the son of Mary. He truly was a human being who had a mom. And he dealt with her as a son would deal with his mother. And this is good news for us, Christian. Not only because in Jesus do we see someone who honored his mother the way that God's law called him to, but because also in Jesus Christ we finally do have an actual human being who was perfect, who perfectly kept the letter and the spirit of the law, like honoring his mother, even while he hung dying there on the cross, suffering tremendously and deeply, and yet still caring for his mother and his responsibility for her. And because of that, who was and is able to be that atoning sacrifice for the rest of us human beings who are an awful bunch of awful human or sinners. To the point where now, with Jesus in heaven, having ascended there. In fact, we get to celebrate that this week Thursday. It's Ascension Day this week Thursday. It's a great day of rejoicing in the life of the church, a day of gathering together as Christians and celebrating that momentous occasion in the life of the church. It's a happy day in the life of the church, this upcoming Thursday is, and we'll celebrate that in worship here. But now, of course, in heaven, we finally have a perfect human being who is seated at God the Father's right hand, who even now he is representing you and all of God's chosen ones before the throne of God as a constant reminder to God in his holiness that you have been made holy because the seed of the woman came to represent us other seeds of women. That he who had a mother named Mary now represents you and me who have mothers. Mothers with their own unique and wonderful names, representing us before the throne of God above. Because only a human could take the place of another human. And Jesus was that human. He was and is that man. So that on this Mother's Day, we might not only be thankful to God for the gift of dear mothers, but we might also be thankful to God for the gift of a dear Savior, Jesus Christ, and the gift of him having a dear mother, the Virgin Mary, so that Jesus might be fully man, just like you and me, except for sin. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. And for the gift of Jesus Christ, dear Father, we thank thee. And for the miracle of his incarnation, of God taking upon himself human flesh, becoming this seed of the woman to rescue us who are the seeds of women. And so, Lord, we thank thee for how this needed to take place. And Lord, in thy sovereign plan, that thou wouldst receive the glory through that. We're thankful that we have a human being in heaven advocating for us who is perfect and glorious and who has taken our place. And we thank thee that where he is, we too, Lord, shall be in the glories of heaven. And so we thank thee also for that, for our great mediator, our great high priest who intercedes for us. Lord, we pray that we might not take such a blessing for granted. Lord, we confess sometimes we take many blessings for granted. We take mothers, Lord, for granted. Lord, we take many other blessings for granted. And Lord, we confess that we take Jesus, our great high priest, our great Savior, for granted too. Forgive us for that, for these ways that we are blessed richly and we don't fully appreciate how blessed we are. But Lord, we pray that we would be mindful again, even now, through the power of thy Holy Spirit, mindful of how blessed we are with the gift of Jesus Christ, he who is the seed of the woman, as we pray this in his precious name. Amen. We have an opportunity now to worship God through our offerings as the deacons come forward to receive those. The first offering, of course, is the general maintenance fund and the work of the denomination. We had classes meeting this past week, and we were reminded just in so many ways the ministry that we participate in. And just being a part of Beaver Dam Christian Reformed Church, we are involved in so many important ministries in our community, in the Hispanic community, far-reaching, even beyond West Michigan, and Grand Valley, and so many other important ways, and the excitement that is there. Lives continue to be changed. People come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's because we give offerings like this, and we are very actively a part of that here in Beaver Dam. So that's our first offering. The second offering is for Garden of Hope, and especially on this Mother's Day, we're mindful of the blessing, the sanctity of human life, and of Garden of Hope there in Grand Rapids, across from the abortion clinic, where they witness and where they pray, and then they just pray over those who go into there, because this is a spiritual battle as much as it's a legal battle. And so let's ask the Lord's blessing on these offerings. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for life. And we're thankful for new life in Jesus Christ and how these offerings help promote that, Lord, not only through the ministries of the church, but also, too, Lord, through Garden of Hope, of these believers who gather and every day, Lord, who gather to pray and to be that witness, Lord, through their lives and through their prayers, through their testimony, too, of those who are seeking to end that life in that womb. And so, Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our land, continued change of the hearts of people. Lord, even here in the state of Michigan, we know that there's an upward battle before us. Lord, we pray for the witness of the church. And as we seek to love others, Lord, love even the least of these, Lord, bless us in that. Bless these offerings in that work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heidelberg Catechism spoke of Jesus being born of the line of David, and so we sing Once in Royal David's City, a Christmas hymn, number 286 in our celebration hymnals, or hymn of response, our celebration hymnals, number 286, Once in Royal David's City. The first verse speaks about a mother, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother, mild Jesus Christ, her little child. And then it goes on to speak about Jesus' humanity. And there, especially in verse 3, day by day, like us, he grew. And so we see that played out here as well. So we're going to sing together all four verses, all the verses of number 286, Rising to Sing.
receive God's parting blessing as you go out into this afternoon.
The Lord says to you these words from Numbers chapter 6, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.
Okay, there we go.